podcast.
Midnight Paco. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Midnight Paco Podcast. As always, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
I am the underscore great underscore C-O-R-E-E. That's where you can find me. Or you can find us both at the Midnight Paco Podcast.
That's right.
As you can see.
Yes.
We have a very special guest in the house.
We do.
He's a fellow traveling comedian.
Yes.
Actor. Well, father. Mr. Anthony Mayo is in the house.
Yeah. Where's the button?
There it is.
Yeah,
Anthony the button, Mayo bro. Up in this boy.
Mayo comedy, no underscores. He got like 8 underscores in his name.
Yeah, doesn't he? Oh, he messes it up.
where can they find you again, man?
Anthony Mayo comedy.
Yeah, it's on his shirt.
Yeah, man, I wore my shirt and I did.
That's how you gotta do it. You gotta promote your
That's
shit.
Dope.
We're trying to get one. We'll put it on the wall.
I'm wearing that shirt on stage.
Yeah. Nah,
next time on stage, I'm wearing that shirt.
I told him we gotta get one
actually,
of his.
I might wear it when we're gonna do the show next week in Buffalo.
That'll be what's up.
Anthony Mayo is here, and he is a. I've only seen him like at a couple of mics. But most of the time, you see him at the comedy clubs.
Yeah.
Getting it in.
Yeah.
I mean, the clips that he put up, and plus, you know, the shows that I've seen, he got the crowd going. Gets the crowd going.
That's what it's all about.
It's provocative. Gets the crowd going.
So, how many years have you been doing it? We'll start with that.
7 years.
May 2nd was your, okay.
Congratulations, man. Yeah.
Congratulations.
7 years in this game. Yeah. So this is something that, you know, whatever you do, is like, however your experience is in comedy, whatever you feel, you did it to yourself.
Yeah.
So you've been doing it for 7 years, and it must, you know, it must be, you know, getting better and better and better and better. So some people are made for this. Tell us about your first time, man.
My first time.
Like, what made you get up on stage and say, this is what I want to do?
I got a random message on Instagram from Gregory Summers. And he messaged me and said, I heard you was Mr. Funny Man. I'm starting a new comedy show series called The Comic Book.
Okay.
And we doing this show. It's for new and veteran comics. I just want you to do 10 minutes. And I'm just sitting there thinking, like, who told you I was Mr. Funny Man? Who the hell are you? But I was like, all right. I said, I could do it. I'm like, 10 minutes? That's nothing.
10 minutes is nothing.
I said, I talked. Man, that was one of my biggest issues in school was how much I talk. I said, 10 minutes ain't nothing. So I said, I'd do it. And I had about 2 months to prepare for it.
Okay.
He hit me up like 2 months in advance, so I had time to prepare.
And this was going to be your first time ever?
First time
ever. Okay, and 7 years ago.
Yep, man.
Okay.
So tell us about that venue.
Yeah.
So the venue was at a restaurant in Twinsburg. I forgot the name of it. I want to say the Red Fox or... It was something like that. It was a restaurant, and in the back, they had like a little room with a pool table and all that, and just a big space. And that's where the show was. Like, the stage was the pool table. They took a wood board like this, a big wide wood board, and put it on the pool table, made it the stage. So we sitting real high.
That's wild.
You been telling jokes like this?
I knew I was gonna do bad. I didn't know nothing about comedy. I knew I was going to do bad when I told the other comics it was my first time, and they all start laughing. They was like, oh, this is going to be great. And I'm like, why? It's like, oh, you will see. So that killed my confidence right there. I was like, oh, shit. What am I about to go through? Right. And I just so happened to have, it was 8 people in the crowd. 3 of them was 3 of my friends.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay. Nice. I get on stage. They finally called me up. I'm like second. I'm the newest one. I'm second. I get on stage. I told all 10 minutes of my jokes in 3 minutes. 3 minutes. And they was recording. They had a camera just like this right in front of us. Just staring at me.
So were you telling jokes to the audience or to the camera?
I was telling jokes to the audience. I was looking for my friends. I'm like, they're the only ones I know. Not to mention I felt bad because the host before me was just roasting them because they was the only white people in the crowd. And I'm like, oh, man. So I came up, I apologized to my friends. I didn't know the structure of the kind. I thought you just go up there and talk. So I told my joke, 3 minutes go by, I'm out of jokes. I get to one more joke talking about my dad, and I get a big laugh.
What was that joke? You remember?
Yeah, it was a joke saying how my dad was supposed to be here. Because I was like, it's only 8 people in here. And I was like, it would have been 9. But my dad found out it was $20 a ticket. He said, I ain't paying to come see you for those $20. He said, the Improv don't even cost that much. Thanks for the support, Dad.
He's like, I ain't paying it to see him.
So I told that joke. But I told that joke to the crowd. All 8 people cracked up. I'm like, yeah.
That's good.
But that laugh, I didn't know. This is my first laugh in life like that from a real crowd. I didn't know what to do. My mind went blank. I didn't know how to handle the laugh. I was like, oh, what do I do now? Like,
been there.
I'm just standing. My mind went blank. I couldn't think of nothing. I'm standing there trying to talk. 2 minutes go by. I asked the camera dude how much time I got left. He whispered like 5 minutes. I'm like, fuck. I'm like, fuck, 5 minutes.
Shout out to Javon Bates.
Yeah.
I think Javon was the one. That was him and Greg. They the ones that started that.
That's crazy, the comic book. Because I think the first time I met you was at the comic book.
Yeah.
It might have been.
That one show that I did.
You was on one? Yeah, I did a few of them for him. Yeah, they was cool. Man.
Yeah.
That was a good start, though. And, like, after that first laugh and after bombing for the last 7 minutes, because I didn't know to get off stage.
Yeah, right.
Kept talking, like, or trying to. I'm just stood there for 5 minutes, like, all right, what y'all want to talk about then? Like, all right, we just going to stay here for
10 minutes. I mean, did you learn from that, though?
Yeah, it was actually motivational. Like, I told myself, I said, okay, I see how this is. I said, I got to come back stronger next time.
Right.
And then my second show, I killed it. I actually did good my second show. I killed it.
How much time? You remember?
I think I did like 7 minutes.
7 minutes?
I did like 5 to 7 minutes, yo.
That's dope.
Where was that?
It was at B-Side.
Okay,
so okay.
B-Side. Don Shear, he was one of the ones laughing at me in the beginning.
Don Shear?
Yeah, he was one of the ones laughing at me in the beginning, but he took me under his wing, man. He taught me all the shit early. He taught me don't bring no notebook on stage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, move the mic stand out the way. He taught me like the most basic rules that some comics it take a minute to know or understand.
I watch YouTube videos.
He taught me that real quick.
I prepared a little bit before I went up.
Well, that's what I did too, making my jokes. I was watching other comics trying to figure out how to do shit. I thought I had it, but you're never gonna get it until you do it. That's just what it is.
You can,
no matter how prepared you think you are, you gotta get on stage and see how it really works.
Yeah.
And that's why the second time I think I did better.
Cause you processed it and
I processed how I went the first time.
Right.
I'm like, okay, I get it.
Yeah. Okay.
And the second show I did really good. Either that or the crowd was much lighter and easier to please.
No, you're funny. I mean, you're funny. Yeah,
My second show was like, but I had 2 more months to prepare. My second show was like 2 months after.
Oh, okay.
Three months, actually. It was in August. So I did it May 2nd, and I didn't get back on stage till August.
Okay, wow. Okay.
So did you know before time, like, how long you were going to do?
No. But I knew to get off stage if they were laughing. So I said, I'm gonna do my time. Hopefully I got more time.
Did you know about the light?
They explained to me about the light.
Okay.
But I was bad with like timing myself.
Yeah. Okay.
You know. All right. Like,
yeah.
And then not to mention when we did that show in B-Side, it was outside. So like, the time that I was up there, since I was like one of the first 2 people, It was daylight outside. So
how was that for a comedy show? Weird. Yeah, it was
like being at a barbecue.
Right, tell jokes.
Tell at a barbecue to your family.
I mean, I know how that can be, like, you know, because
yeah,
if you want, if you know, God rest Pete. God rest his soul.
Yeah, R.I.P. Pete.
And at the Funny Stop, you know, when he bring people in and I'm standing there, he'll be bringing them in, showing them pictures on the wall, and like, Steve Harvey got his start right here.
Everybody. And he always makes sure he mentions, what's his name, too?
John Hinton.
John Hinton, yep.
He'd be like, John Hinton got his start right here.
Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey used to come.
Yeah, and then if I'm standing there, he'll say, you see Cool C? His first time, 2 minutes. I'm like, Pete, you gonna tell everybody that, bro? Like, he did 2 minutes. I'm like, Pete, bro. Like,
the first time I tried to do the Funny Stop, bro, I swear to God. The first time I did the Funny Stop, Pete, as soon as I walked in, he was like, where you from? I was like, Cleveland. He's like, you're not funny. You Cleveland comics are not funny. All y'all know is F this and F that.
It sounds just like here. Pete.
I'm like, damn, bro. Didn't even give me a chance.
Right. So, what did he say to you afterwards?
Well, afterwards, he was like, and actually, I did decent too, but afterwards, he was like, you're still not funny. So I didn't know how Pete was. Like,
yeah,
because if he messed with you, that means he liked you.
Yeah, if he gave you the tough love, he really liked you. He just testing to see, because Pete, me and Pete used to go at it, bro, like, because I didn't know it was like that. And even when I knew it was like that, now I know that he just liked to mess with me.
Right.
Yeah.
We used to argue so much. Like, especially once I really start, like, working other, like, shows. Oh, Pete used to get mad because I would hang out and stuff. Because we used to tear the Funny Stop up.
Yeah.
Me, Tank, Chad, like, that crew of people.
Yeah, Chad.
Like, we, that's that gentleman, that's my class.
Nice.
That's a dope class.
That's a dope class.
Yeah.
Patrick Madison.
Those are my favorite people.
GW, man.
Favorite people.
All of them, man. That's our class. And we was... I mean, we was grinding out really hard at the Funny Stop. Like, we was there every week, no matter what. Like,
yeah.
We didn't care. We grinded hard. We used to hit, like, 2-3 mics a night.
Mm.
They used to have mics in Cleveland. Yeah, we used to grind it out back then.
That's what's up. So, basically, like, you know, when it came to the timing, Justin helped me out with that because I didn't really, you know, understand how to, like, write my material in 5 minutes and stuff like that. So when I started, you know, I was timing myself, recording and timing myself, and I still didn't make the whole 5 minutes in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But it was just like, for me, it was like if I advanced to the next round, because it was always a contest.
Yeah.
So if I advanced, those 5 minutes helped me hostage for 2 weeks or for whenever the next show was. That's all I was thinking about, what I was going to do and how I was going to do it. And I was nervous the whole way. And then another thing, what it did was when I did do other shows and I had more time, I was rushing because I was only doing 5 minutes. So I thought I was in, you know, in the habit of doing 5 minutes. So I would be like, blah, 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 blah. And then I'll have more time. So I had to learn to stretch my jokes or what's it called, pattern myself or
pace myself.
So how did you do with that, like discovering like time and pacing yourself and writing out your jokes and stuff like that?
So luckily for me, my story is the exact opposite of yours. Like, luckily for me, I started off doing 10 minute sets. I had to. My first show was 10 minutes, and then when Don put me on his shows, they was all 10 minutes. So I was starting off doing 10 minutes. What was hard for me was transitioning to 5. Because now I got the 10. I mean, it ain't the best 10, but I got 10 minutes. But right. Now they saying do 5. I'm like, well, what do I tell? How do I cut this in half? And
right.
I'm so used to doing 10. Yeah, so that was my issue. Especially when I got to the Funny Stop. Trying to figure out how to do 5. What 5 am I going to do? Not to mention, we was always trying jokes. New jokes out.
So when he called you, he had to get that from somewhere. I heard you was Mr. Funny Man. Was you doing plays or was you on theater?
I wasn't doing nothing at all.
Like, okay, so
I was chilling. I was working and chilling. I just got a random message on Instagram saying, I heard you was Mr. Funny Man. And
that's wild.
I don't know to this day who told him that.
All right, so
that's wild.
He heard from somebody that I'm funny. He must know somebody that I know, and they probably don't know if I did comedy or not, but they must have told him, well, he funny, hit him up.
Wow.
So how did you deal with the, you know, because one of the biggest fears of, like, the majority of people is public speaking. So
that's the number one fear in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so how did you, were you a public speaker or it was all...
I wasn't that people. I mean, I've always been naturally funny. All my friends think I'm funny. That's why I know it was somebody that know me personally that knows I'm just a fool, like just a funny person. That's how I know it was somebody. Because, I mean, I'm not a comedian, and whoever it was, instead of recommending a comedian, they recommended me. Because I wasn't even friends with Greg. Like, I don't even think we was friends on social media. He looked me up, found me, and messaged me that.
Wow,
that's wild.
And that's crazy. Yeah, I still don't to this day know who told him that.
Okay, but prior to that, have you ever thought about it? Like, right. Like growing up?
Oh yeah, growing up, I always wanted to do acting. So like, okay. I was real big into watching comedy, okay. But I never thought about actually doing comedy. Even I've always wanted to do more of the acting.
Okay.
Side. Like me and my friends, we used to make our little videos and shit. Like shit, like. Our VHS tape. We made a punk tape. You know, you had the old camcorders where you looked at things.
Yeah,
we had that. Like, we was making all them videos. Like, that's all we used to do was make, like, little skits back in the day. Mm, then we stopped doing it. And then that's when Vine came out. As soon as we stopped doing it. But we wasn't feeling it. Like, we wasn't feeling Vine. We was like, nah, we ain't about to do that shit no more. Like, we done. Mm. But we didn't know Vine was gonna get so big.
Yeah.
You know, and Vine started popping. People started getting big off of Vine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then TikTok came out. Like,
right.
All that. And, you know, we sitting there, me and my friends to this day still look at that. We like, man, we was doing that way before.
Yeah.
And if we would have kept doing that during the Vine and the early TikTok, we could have been up there. Like,
right.
Because we've been had video. We got VHSs of it. We made a punk video. We made all kinds of videos.
Y'all need to put that out there.
I don't even know if we can still find it.
Or recreate it.
We have to recreate our old ass.
Back in high school. No, but even though, man, that's dope. So you said you've been a fan of comedy. So who were your influences? Who did you watch? Who did you enjoy?
I was a big Def Comedy Jam.
Okay.
And Comic View person. I mean, I love comedy. My dad always played Richard Pryor's and all of them, Red Foxes. You know, that's just like automatic.
Right.
But we used to watch Def Comedy Jam like crazy. Like he had all the tapes when they came out, all the Def Comedy Jam. And I used to just watch all of them, all the people. And I mean, it's people on there now that a lot of people probably never even heard of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I still, it's some of the funniest people. Like, we got a lot of famous people. We got our famous people that we know from, that we know for a fact. But there's a lot of underground people that was on them shows that people don't know. Like,
we just had one on the show a couple of weeks ago.
Smokey
Suarez.
Yeah.
I love Smokey.
Shout out to Smokey.
Yeah, shout out to Smokey.
Hey, Smokey, funny, bro. Like, Smokey is so funny. His Laughaholics video, y'all gotta check his Laughaholics video.
Yeah, man, he got good work out there.
He said he showed up in a brown outfit for Halloween. They was like, what are you? He was like, the roach. He said, I'm the roach.
Smokey off the chain.
But yeah, I used to watch all of them, man. I used to love. So, like, influence wise, I don't know. I was just a comedy fan. Like, I've loved all different types, styles, people. Everybody had their own styles. And, you know, so, I mean, it's hard to tell because I'm influenced by all of them. Like, I mean, I got, even in my set, I got a couple of one-liners.
Mm, yeah, okay.
All the way up to storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
All the way up to misdirections. I mean, all of it together. Callbacks.
Right.
You know, I got just every style of comedy into one set. Like, because I just love different types of comedy and different types of jokes, you know. I never cared about the race. Some people like just black comics. Some people like rap. I like every type of comic. Like, one of my favorites is Stephen Wright.
Right.
And, you know, he's a one-liner.
Mm-hmm.
And he's monotone the way he's talking. everything about Stephen Wright. And it took me years to know that Stephen Wright was the one on the couch. Yeah, baby, right? Well, yeah. I did not know that. As much as I, that is crazy. Yeah. He was the dude on the couch. I said, come on.
Yeah, man. Like, Stephen, he was like one of those faces that you saw a lot in the 80s, and then he sort of like disappeared, but then you saw him resurface on the dude on the couch in Half Baked. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I remember saying
I met him.
Was he in Scrooge?
Rodney Dangerfield.
I don't know.
Or was he not that one? Or did he not play that? No, he probably didn't play that guy.
I'm not sure, but
one of the ghosts.
I'm not sure.
I can't see him playing.
I
can't remember either. But you know, like, shout out to Stephen Wright.
Yeah, shout out to Stephen Wright. People. Oh wait, no, I'm thinking of a different movie. That wasn't him. Never mind.
One of my favorite comics from Def Comedy Jam is probably a lot of people never heard of. His name was Dave Tully. He died. He was a white dude. This dude was hilarious. And one of my favorite, he told one of my favorite jokes of all time, too. Like, of all time, bro. Like, I remember as a kid, he was talking about, well, the joke he said, he said, I can't stand women, man. He said, I walked up to this lady and she was like, hey, you're kinda cute. And he was like, kinda. He's like, well, thanks a lot, you sort of fat bitch. You look like you almost went on a diet. And I remember being a kid just crying. Like him and Ian Edwards. I mean, Ian Edwards is still out here. I met Ian. He real cool, is too. He? It was so cool to meet Ed, like Ian. But people like them, like, I mean, Simply Marvelous. I don't know if anybody remembers Simply, but she was wild.
Simply Marvelous?
Simply Marvelous. She had like a little deep voice. She was talking. She was really funny.
Yeah,
and she was legit funny. You could tell when she came out, the crowd judged her, and then she went up there and killed it. Like,
you're going to make me have to go look up the Def Comedy Jam.
All them people, man, a lot of them people. I mean, it's great that I got to work with some of them, like Pierre.
Yeah, Pierre,
cool as shit, but I love Pierre.
I mean, it's dope that they're all still out there doing it, though. You know what I mean?
4 months later, talking about some, oh, I heard you had a stroke. I'm like, damn, bro. Yeah, 4 months later, who was you talking to? Like, they just told you about that shit. But thank you.
wait. You want to talk about that? Yeah. Or no?
What, the stroke?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll talk about it.
Okay.
That was a major, change in my life and comedy.
Imagine, man. I can imagine. Wow. How did it happen?
Well, it happened because I'm diabetic and my blood sugar got really high, and that raised my blood pressure, which gave me a clot in my neck, which stopped the blood and gave me a stroke.
Jeez.
I didn't know what it was. I actually had, when it happened, I didn't even know when it happened. I had a great weekend at Hilarities. Great weekend. And I party too hard. I'm drinking margaritas and shit. I'm chilling. And I ain't gonna lie, afterwards, I stopped at Circle K to get some gas, and they had this fucking brownie that had every... This brownie had so much shit, a diabetic should not be eating
that. Oh, God.
But I ate that shit.
This is important. Can you talk in the mic?
I knew, like, that... I don't know, that brownie, I think, fucked me up.
Yeah, that probably
Saturday
took you
night,
over
I celebrated too hard. I drank, like, 3 margaritas, ate that brownie, fucking... Oh, man. I woke up Sunday, and I just... I don't know. I felt like I was about to pass out. I never felt it before. And you know, I mean, as well go to the hospital as we have
right,
to.
Right.
You know, I mean, I ain't been to the hospital and I couldn't even tell you how long. And I knew. I just knew I had to go. Like,
right.
It just summoned me. I was like, oh, yeah, this is real. Like, whatever this is, I thought I was about to, like, die, bro. Like, that. Wow. It was that kind of feeling. I felt like I was, like, literally going out. I'm like, oh, my God.
Wow. So it was like, You woke up the next morning from having a great weekend at...
I felt fine. Went to McDonald's. Got some breakfast. I'm eating breakfast.
Wow.
Took a bite of the burrito. And I felt this weird feeling in my leg. I was like, what the fuck? And the feeling just started... I started feeling like it... The feeling started in, like, my ankle. And it started working its way up my leg. Up. I'm like, what the hell is going on, man? Like, then I know I started getting dizzy and lightheaded. And then I'm like, oh, I'm about to fall. Like, so I tried to... So... Normally, when shit like that happens, I mean, anything happened to me, I try to sleep it off. I'd be like, I'm going to just lay down.
Yeah,
man. I start getting dizzy in my sleep. Like, laying down, I start getting dizzy. Like, I knew something was wrong then. Because normally when you dizzy, when
that's
you lay
you're
down.
Drunk.
Yeah, unless you, and that's what it felt like. That's what it felt like a really strong drunk, but laying down.
Wow.
You know, normally when you lay down, when you dizzy, it's supposed to help that.
No, yeah.
I started spinning, laying down. I said, this is not good.
You got to put your feet on the ground.
Wow. I said, this is not good. And, yeah. And I tell a whole joke about it now.
You were diabetic.
I'm diabetic.
You are diabetic.
Type 2.
And you had a great night at the at Hilarities.
Yeah.
And you celebrated. You had that fantastic brownie.
The unbelievable brownie.
It sounded like it had M&M's and everything.
It had everything you could think of. I'm telling you, it had caramel, chocolate chips, M&M's. This was layered. Circle K tried to kill me.
It sounded like it had everything except for THC.
Man.
That sounded like THC buying it.
It was like, man. Well, I mean, I think
my tooth hurts already just from hearing it.
Yeah, mine are ready to fall out.
I got PTSD from that shit.
Yeah, he'll never buy one of them bitches ever again.
If I see that brownie again, I'm stomping that bitch up.
He hates her.
Ain't nobody eat this brownie. I mean, it wasn't just a brownie, though. It was just ignoring my diabetes and not accepting it. Because I found out I was diabetic a week before my 21st birthday. Like,
wow.
So, and it took me till I was like, that was 21. It took me till I was like 26 to even really accept that I had diabetes. Was some shit. That was some lifestyle change. So I wasn't really taking care of myself for a long time. It was just leading up to this.
Okay.
You know, this was like my wake up call. I'm glad the way it happened, it was like a wake up call.
It's a terrible one, but
it could have been worse. Yeah. It could have been way worse. Yeah, I got a wake up call.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
So with the type 2 diabetes, and not saying that you were like, you know, an alcoholic, but you were drinking like normal young people do, like on the weekend or.
Yeah, I mean, the clubs give you free drinks. Who's gonna turn that down?
Right. So it wasn't like you were, you know, it was just that you wasn't taking the precaution that you should have. You didn't respect your diabetes, basically.
Pretty much. I was just, and I could have, I just wasn't checking my sugars. I got sick of poking myself. Type shit.
I was like, get that Libre thing.
I was like, yeah, but that wasn't out at the time.
Yeah, okay. Like, that shit was okay.
I poked myself a few times. I'm like, never again. I was just.
I'm the same way, bro.
And I was young. I was just young and stubborn. I mean, I was just young and stubborn. And I went to the hospital. And when I went to the hospital, they tried to blame it on my diabetes. They was like, oh, I told them what was wrong, too. I said, I'm lightheaded. I'm dizzy. I said, I'm about to pass out. I sat in the waiting room for like 3 hours.
Wow.
They was checking my blood and they was like, yeah, your blood sugar. Now, they didn't know I was a nurse, but they said it was my blood sugar and it was like, yeah, your blood sugar was like 4 or something. Which I was shocked because I thought it would have been higher than that. But
all right, what number should it normally be?
It should be anywhere from 80 to 120.
Wow.
I was at 400.
He was a sugar cube.
But when I first found out I had diabetes, my sugar was at 800. They told me I was a day away from it. I didn't know when I found out I had diabetes. And I learned some stuff being a nurse and all that. So when they told me that at the hospital, I'm like, okay, I get it. My sugar is really high. I mean, that's pretty high. Mm. I mean, but still, that's not making me feel the way that I feel. I said, I know there's something going on in my head. Like,
right.
This is more than just diabetes. Y'all can call it that.
Yeah.
And they gave me some saline, got my sugar down to 200, and still sent me out. And I'm like, why are y'all sending me out at 200? That's still high, too. Like,
right.
And they sent my ass home. And I was dizzy and lightheaded for 2 days straight. I went back to a different hospital. And that's when they did everything right. I told them I was dizzy. I said, the last hospital says my diabetes. It ain't just that. I said, so they did a CT scan. They came back and said, there's something on your brain.
Ooh.
They said it could either be a tumor or a stroke.
Mm.
And they admitted me, did the MRI, and it came back a stroke.
Mm.
The doctor came in and said, you had a little stroke.
Yeah. A little
it's funny the way he said it.
Yeah, what the suck?
You had a little stroke. You'd be cool.
Shoot.
I tell a joke about all that too. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. I mean, it's good you got something out of it, but you know, it sucks you had to go through something. I mean, my nephew, he had a stroke and he still has having issues with his
right.
Yeah, a lot of people gotta go emotion. Through that. I got lucky with all that.
No, a stroke took my dad out. So
yeah. So I had a miniature CVA. Which is a brain thing. So you got the TIA and the CVA. Like the TIA is a mini stroke, but you recover, your brain recover from that.
Mm. Yeah.
The CVA is where a part of your brain dies, like permanently. So like, so that's why my recovery takes longer than most people that have the TIAs, because luckily where it hit is what saved me. Because like they said, where it hit in the right side of my brain, if it was over just a little bit, then I could have lost feeling. I had to redo all that. But where it hit, because it's not always the size of the stroke, it's where it hits. And like, so where it hit in my brain, I got lucky to where my brain is be able to reroute the blood. You know, I just still go through little stuff every now
and then. What if you had a German accent afterwards?
Like, that would be, I'd rather British, but.
You don't want to talk like this.
If I get a German accent, dude, I'm changing my whole set. I'm about to be an impressionist.
Oh, yeah, right, for sure.
Man.
So when you started doing comedy, I mean, obviously you worked that in, but, you know, so coming up, like, when you started writing your set and everything, did you know, like, what you were going to talk about? Like, were you going to be, like, a storyteller or one-liner or?
That's where, in the beginning, that's where you try to find your voice. That's where you figure out what you're good at. Like, in the beginning, I tried everything. I tried one-liners. I tried stories. I tried to see what was best for me.
Okay.
Like, you know, and I don't know, I guess it all ended up working out because I got a little bit of everything in my set. But that's where a lot of people find their voice, try to figure out what type of comic they are. I mean,
because you were like 28?
Yeah, I was 28, yeah. 20. I wanted to go more towards the storytelling, though, because I had stories.
Mm-hmm.
But storytelling is not as easy as like... Mm. As it seems, especially depending on how long the story is. You know,
it's almost like you said, since you started out with all that time, like I was thinking when you were talking about having to shorten it down, it's almost like you got to try and grab the highlights.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like it's hard sometimes.
You have to do that, even if you are a headliner and got an hour, you have to figure out, because when you start getting them bigger opportunities, when you start getting them TV shows and getting them big tours, like them Giant Arena tours, you're only doing, I mean, when you're doing a TV show, you're only doing 3 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah,
you got to pick out.
No matter how good you are, you only got 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. Dave Chappelle got 3 to 5 minutes.
Right.
I don't care who you are. So you need to have a 3 minute set. You need a 5 minute set. You need a 7 minute set. You need a 10 minute set. To
start.
Keep it going. Everybody want that hour. Everybody want that time. But it's like, depending on where you're trying to get to, you need the smaller time to get them big opportunities. You want to headline the clubs and all that and do your hour, but you need to have that strong 3, 5, 7, and 10 is going to take you where you need to be.
Mm.
That's going to get you what you need.
So like when you started, like for example, when I started, I used to pace and I played with the cord. If the cord was tangled, I have OCD. I'm untangling the cord.
Yeah, I used to do that.
Yeah, so I was asking, like, to where you're at now, like, what were some of your habits that you had to break?
Some of my habits, it depends. Because, I mean, walking around the stage and all that, I used to be real motion. Like, I never, you know, like, just stood still. But that's not a bad habit, though. I mean, it's cool to walk around. It's good to walk around, actually,
because
it keeps the crowd, like, focused on you.
Yeah.
Type shit. So, I mean, I don't know. I used to try not to look at the crowd directly. I always try to look way in the back on the walls. I had to get out of that habit.
Yeah.
I used to say shit a lot, like, after every other word. shit. And I never realized until I went back and watched my tape. Never realized on stage that I was doing that. Like, tangling the cords up and all that, looking down, just, you know, just little stuff like that. I mean,
that's a lot, though.
You watched your set and then you realize, like, that's something I need to work on.
And it's hard. It's hard, especially when you're doing stuff that you don't realize.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to recognize it and change it. And yeah, that's a lot. And that's one thing I give the Funny Stop credit for, too. It really did clean up my comedy. Okay. He wasn't lying when he said we do a lot of fuck this, fuck that. So he wasn't lying about that. Like, he really helped me clean my setup. Well, I think I respect that. I appreciate that.
I think that's more like if you ain't writing your shit down and you're freestyling, you tend to drop F bombs more. Or you know, curse. You know what I mean? Because
I was always a cusser before I started doing comedy.
You talk
like yourself a lot.
Right.
And you know, but sometimes that stuff can mess up your set.
Yeah, 100%.
I've had people tell me that after the show, like, you did great, but you say fuck too much. you say nigga too much. You know, you can't be saying all that.
Wait a minute. I mean, I didn't really catch you. Well, I've seen you as more of a seasoned comic, because I was going to say that wasn't what my thought when I saw you set. Like, you didn't.
Oh yeah, I cleaned it up big time. Pete really helped me. The funny stuff really helped me.
Yeah,
like really, really helped me.
That's Justin and I as our home club. So
yeah,
we started out 5 minutes clean.
5 minutes clean.
5 minutes clean.
And Pete wasn't lying. That stuff really helps when you're trying to do club work and shit. Like, I mean, I'm not saying you can't go out there and be all crazy. Some of that stuff works depending on where you at.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the venues, especially when you at a bar and stuff, they like all that crazy talk and that ratchet. Like,
yeah.
You know, sometimes that stuff works, but you got to learn how to adjust when you trying to be professional.
So you saying there's a difference between like club etiquette and bar etiquette?
Oh yeah, that's one of my biggest issues with doing bars. I do bars as if I'm in a club, and it's two different settings, two different types of crowds,
Completely.
I mean, it's a different vibe. It's a different. A lot of people that come to comedy clubs, I mean, you're the main focus. You're here for comedy. When you're in a bar, there's so many distractions, and some people just don't care. Some people don't even know it's a show going on. You gotta adjust to your crowd in that type of way, like. And me, I'm sitting over here. A lot of bar shows, you get more crowd work done in those type of shows. It's hard telling jokes because you ain't got their full attention for them to understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you gotta sit there and, I don't know. I mean, crowd work works real good in like bar shows. I mean, granted, there's some shows that, you know, the crowd is there for that, but
I mean, is it worth doing crowd work though?
It depends. I mean, crowd work
can... Like working on it, I'm saying. Because if you're, like, hosting a show, you can do crowd work because you're at the show, you're hosting, and you care about it. Yeah. Is it something you got to work on, you think? Or is you just want to talk to somebody, you talk to them?
It's just... To me, crowd work is just a good skill to have. I wouldn't use it as something to rely on.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't use it to make up some of your time. So If they offer you to do an hour, you only got 45 minutes, don't be like, oh, I'll just do 15 minutes of crowd work.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, don't rely on crowd work, because crowd work can either make or break you.
Mm, oh, yeah.
That crowd can tear you up, man, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Some people, I mean, everybody want to go out there thinking they Matt Rife.
Yeah, once you open up the doors.
It ain't that easy. It's not that easy, and every crowd ain't going to react the same way
right.
to you. Like, I mean, some crowds will cuss you up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've heard stories of comics getting beat up after the shows because of
crowd work. Really? Yeah, because they try and go down the road, and then they try and make it funny, and then you try and humiliate somebody, and then it goes bad.
Yeah, a lot of crowd work is off the top of the dome. Like, a lot of your crowd work is just quick thoughts that you don't even think about, and sometimes you say some shit that you didn't mean to say.
Yeah.
Right.
If you don't know what you're doing, like, I mean.
Yeah.
And granted, some people use, like me, I have certain jokes that I do crowd work, certain crowd work jokes that's already set up to help pretty much set up the setup to a joke. Like,
yeah.
To try to get them to understand what we about to talk about next.
Right.
You know, I do that sometimes to help.
I mean, I'll ask questions here and there, but nothing like a back and forth, and it's just like a random question. You know, they say yes or no or something like that, you know.
Yeah, that's one of my bad habits too when I first started asking the crowd questions.
Mm-hmm.
You do not want to keep asking them questions for one reason, because then they think it's okay to talk.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's okay every now and then, but I was asking them everything. Like,
oh, okay, yeah, no.
What y'all want to talk about?
No, I only got a couple in there, and it just leads to jokes.
I had to stop doing that. I was yelling at the crowd bad.
What was you saying?
Like, if a joke didn't hit, I'm like, man, fuck y'all. That joke was funny. Y'all don't know shit. I do not cuss the crowd out, man. It's not
that yeah.
Bad. Just keep it going, man. Just keep it going.
I only said you suck once.
Man, I used to. Because when you cuss the crowd out, they get more. Sometimes they get even more mad. Now they really ain't laughing at you, even if it's funny. And they're going to be like, nah, we ain't laughing at you.
It was just the crowd in general that night.
And by the time I got up, I mean, they gave me what they gave me, but I was just like, you guys suck.
Like, I'm just like, you guys suck.
You guys suck. And I was like, towards the end, you know what I mean? So it was just like, sorry, but you guys suck.
My favorite.
I'll never do it again.
My favorite is Desmond Turner. Shout out to
Desmond Turner.
Shout out to Desmond. Desmond will always be one of my favorite. My very second show. My first time seeing Desmond, I swear to God, so we all was in the beginning. I did pretty good. Desmond did not like his set. And at the end of his set, he was like, man, you know what? And first of all, he ended the set early. He said, you know what? This is a shit show. This is a shit crowd. This is a shit set. I'm getting the hell out of here. And dropped the mic and walked away. And then, and this is my, I was like, dude, that dude is fire, bro. I said, that's the firest shit I've ever seen. And ever since then, I said, Desmond has been one of my favorites, bro.
Nice.
Ever since then, I said, this dude that kept it real with the crowd, I said, I feel it.
It was shout out to Desmond Turner.
Shout out to Desmond.
Yeah,
I flex with Desmond.
Yeah, see, I could, I said it, and then like you said, I felt like, no, if I obviously I didn't do my job. You know what I mean? I guess, you know.
It's a shit show. It's a shit crowd. I'm getting the hell out of here and drop the mic. He didn't even put the mic back on the stand. He just dropped it.
It'd be like that sometimes, you know? You feel like you might want to do that.
I saw so much crazy shit as a new comic. I knew this comedy game was going to be crazy. I couldn't wait. And when I started finding shit out for myself, I'm like, oh, I see why. Because I felt like doing a Desmond a million times. I wanted to. I was like, man, this is a shit show. This is a shit crowd.
That's sometimes when you can let your emotions get the best of you.
I'm not excluded
from that.
Desmond wasn't even emotional though. He did it in such a monotone. Like it was part of his set. Like it was set up.
He was like,
bro, I was crying.
This is a shit show.
You know
I
what?
Was crying.
Wait a minute. So look, check this out. I can only imagine because Desmond does his comedy one way, but if you call him on the phone, you would think you called Mace.
Oh, yeah.
He was like,
yeah, right?
He be like, Cordell, what's up, man? How you doing? So I'm sure he was like, this is a shit show.
He was like, man. He wouldn't get the last shit one.
Set, and I'm out this motherfucker. Boom.
Boom.
This is a shit crowd.
That's so lit. That's wild.
I mean, he performs different. Just talking to him, if he ended this show like in his speaking voice, that shit was gold.
That second show, I met so many crazy people. I mean, that's where I met Will Hopkins, bro.
Shout out to Will Hopkins.
I'm watching Will. I knew. So Will was up there. You know how Will talk. Will talk so fast, bro. Like, nobody was doing what he was saying. So it wasn't even that Will wasn't funny. They just didn't understand what he was saying. I did, because he talked about weed the whole time. So when I saw that, I'm like, oh, I rocks with him. I was like, I can't wait to meet him after this show.
He was probably talking about weed.
It was so funny.
And Wilkenems.
D-Hawk
and not calling people.
D-Hawk closed the show out.
Okay. Shout out to D-Hawk.
D-Hawk closed the show out. That's my first time seeing somebody kill it. Like, D-Hawk killed it. Like, and that was my first time seeing, and that was another inspiration. The first time I bombed, the second time I got to see somebody kill it, and I'm like,
right.
Oh, that's the laughs I want. Even though I got good laughs that night,
yeah.
But I saw that, I said,
different.
I said, it's on now. I know how hard people can laugh. Oh, yeah. It's on now.
Yeah.
That was really motivational.
Shout out to D-Hawk.
I mean, watching all of them. Jen Jen was on that show.
Shout out to Jen Jen.
You know, watching her. Who else was on that show? Because people popped up too. I want to say Joey Zaza popped up. The first time I saw Joey, that motivated me to want to do some crowd work, because that was the first time I saw somebody do crowd work.
Okay.
Joey came. We was inside the B-side the first time I saw Joey.
Okay.
He came in. He roasted the background on the wall.
Yeah, that helps.
He looked some like gorillas on the mist type thing. And he just started roasting the crowd for a minute. I'm like, dude, that's fire. Like, I just observed so much shit watching all these people.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
It just, it really had my comedy just, I was all over the place because I didn't know where I want to be. I'm like, damn, I like this crowd work shit. I like the way D-Hawk killed it. I even like what Desmond did. Like,
so is it safe to say, like for anybody that's like, want to just start doing comedy is be around some sharp steel, because steel sharpens steel. Like, it will motivate you, like, to see how it's done and how to inspire to, you know, to improve on your comedy.
So that's what got me where I'm at, because I realized I wanted to be around headliners, and that's all I hung around was headliners.
Okay.
For the most part, I had my little comedy family. You know, we had Tank Precious, Chad.
Okay.
We were a little comedy family. But at the same time, I was also more hanging out with the headliners, being around them, getting advice from them, listening to them. You know, Chris Harvey helped.
Shout out to Chris Harvey.
Really started. He the main one that got me started on how to put my jokes together.
Okay.
He took me to a show with him in Cincinnati, and on the way there, he had me. He showed me how to put my set together.
Nice.
Based on jokes and, you know, the laughs, and that was like the start. So Chris really helped me get my 5 minutes set up. Like, to where, and then he told me, just keep practicing that same 5 minutes till you get sick of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been working on that same 5 minutes since I started comedy, and that same 5 minutes has turned into what, 40?
Wow. Nice. 40 minutes?
Just off that 5 minutes.
You have different bits from that 5 minutes?
That 5 minutes, I did nothing but tag the jokes.
Okay.
Just tag them, make them stronger, make them better and longer. That's it. I mean, it started with that five and my same jokes. Yep, my same jokes. It's only a couple of new jokes that I got, like a couple of new, like my stroke jokes.
Okay.
It's only a couple of new written jokes that I have. A lot of my stuff is just tags for my first 5 minutes. Like.
So you're a component on repetition. Don't worry about like new jokes.
Yeah.
Get that something solid.
Get your set polished. I tell you all the time. Everybody want to have that time, but it's like your time gonna come.
So I don't know if you guys can see this.
I like that.
But I got this wristband. It says "What you about to do?" And that's one of his jokes.
That's what I'm known for.
That's what he's known for. So let me ask you this. So you were saying like something like this guy that came out of that 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, the first time I tried my "what you about to do" joke was at this open mic called TikTok.
Okay.
TikTok closed down. I don't know if y'all remember TikTok. Any comic that's been doing this for at least 5 years, anybody that's been doing this for at least 5 years know TikTok. And they know TikTok was the worst. The worst open mic. You wasn't getting the laugh there. Unless you just knew everybody, you just wasn't getting the laugh there. Everyone bombed there. When you need a bomb, go to TikTok. Bro, I'm telling you. I wrote the "what you about to do" joke. I was like, let me go try it out at TikTok. Let me go ahead and bomb it.
So you said let me go ahead and bomb at TikTok.
You knew what it was.
Okay. I knew what it was, man. Right. I said, let me go try it out, man. I went up to TikTok and I told my joke, and I saved the "what you about to do" joke for last. And I'm bombing the whole fucking way, dude. Like, I knew. So I'm like, at first, I wasn't even going to tell the joke. I was like, man, it ain't even no point in me wasting this joke. I said, I'm going to just throw it away. And then I said, you know what, I'm going to just tell it. And I told it, and when I tell you, that bitch killed.
Okay.
I didn't even know what to say. It took me back to my first time getting my first laugh. I didn't know what to say. I was like, I know this. I said, that's when I knew this joke was going to carry me. And I've been using that joke, and that joke has been carrying me. Like,
nice.
It's just so true. Like, it's so real. Like, I mean, and everybody can relate. And luckily, no one has that joke.
Yeah.
Some people got stuff close to it, I guess, different, like, references to it. But the way I tell it.
I mean, it came from you. So, you know, your experience, your life. I mean, so it's.
I didn't know it was going to hit the heart.
No, that's good.
But when I knew it hit at TikTok, I knew this was a banger. I said, "Oh yeah, this
that was the one."
Yeah,
I said, "This the one."
and it was at the end, and you went there with that mindset, so you're probably kind of loose. You probably didn't give a fuck, and you probably just threw
it
out.
Yeah.
So can you tell, like, you know, without getting too much detail, can you tell us like how your joke process go? Like, like, do you like sit down and write? You talk on your phone, or you have an idea? How does it go?
It just come to me. I just have jokes come to me randomly. Like, I can't sit down and write. I try to write ideas. Sometimes. But for the most part, it normally comes when I'm having conversations with people, or if I see something that reminds me of something. A lot of times, like when I'm driving, like for some reason, I'm just randomly driving to work, random shit just pop up.
Voice messaging helps.
Voices, watching other comedy, you know, watching all different styles of comedy sometimes give you ideas,
right?
About stuff.
I feel like I don't want to watch too much because I don't want to feel like I get the idea from them, though. You know what I mean?
Well, no, because you're gonna put your own perspective on it. It's just, it really just gonna give you an idea. Because I mean, a lot of people parallel thing, and a lot of people talk about same topics, but you just got to put your insight on it to make it different and make your experience.
If it's something
you haven't experienced, I mean. Yeah. I ain't saying don't talk about it, but you might as well talk about what you experienced because it's your story and can't nobody steal it.
Yeah. Oh, no, I've done that. I've been doing that. And I've seen parallel thinking with a couple people. Shit. Things I've seen online, things I've seen locally. And yeah, it's crazy.
We talk about most of the same topics in some cases. We just got different points.
That's why I try and not do topical stuff. I talk more of my life. You know what I mean?
And that's me. All my jokes is all about my life. But it's observational shit that people can relate to.
Yeah.
You know, it's shit that everybody can relate to, but all my stories is about me.
I got like one Diddy joke. So it's like, you know what I mean? And I know it, so, but I have a great perspective on it, so it's one of those deals.
Is it great?
I think it is.
It's funny.
It's a different angle.
It's funny. I don't know how great it is.
It's definitely a different angle. Put it like that.
And that's all that matters.
And it's none of the new stuff. Like, none of the new, the trial stuff or nothing, but it's just, you know.
Yeah, as long as you got a different angle on it. Yeah.
I think it's great. Yeah, I think it's great.
I try not to get into too much about like trending topics.
Because they die quick, you know.
Yeah, you can talk about it but for so long, and not to mention certain trending topics, the joke is just so automatic, everyone has that joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty much saying the same thing, and
right.
Like 90% of people that talk about Diddy, they're gonna talk about like all the baby oils and mm-hmm. all the free parties and
all that
shit.
I know. I make it funny.
So you're a traveling comic, and a lot of people that when they start in comedy, they start, you know, somewhere in the city. As a traveling comic, how do you make your jokes universal and not, you know, we're from Cleveland and the Northeast Ohio area. So how do you make those jokes funny? Like, or like, do you have some jokes that you'd be like, well, I could say that here, but it really probably wouldn't hit or make sense to anybody there?
Yeah, I got a couple tags like that. My joke generally is a universal set. I mean, I could tell it anywhere. It's only a couple like Cleveland based things.
Yeah.
You know, like when I tell my joke about my check engine light going out and about hitting potholes. It's potholes everywhere, but I say, you know, I hit a pothole so hard, all my lights went out, my check engine light, my brake light. Then I'm like, I saw that check engine light go out, and I was like, shit, let me go get this e-check real quick. You know, I can't tell that everywhere because everybody don't have to get e-check.
Yeah, right.
Like, Cleveland is one of the main ones. I think in Texas they got to get it.
That's in Ohio.
Yeah. So, but I can still tell the joke without adding that part. I just take that tag out.
Right.
Yeah. But my set overall, I could tell anywhere. Even when I'm talking about Cleveland, like, you know. And generally, I try to talk about whatever city I'm in anyway.
Right.
You know, so you do that? Yeah, you get a little bit of like 5 minutes or whatever on them, or
just a quick opener, just to mess with them.
Yeah.
Because I like my joke about Cleveland, I can tell that joke using any city name, because all I say is I'll be like, yeah, Cleveland's a beautiful city on the internet. I can say that anywhere.
We look live on the internet.
We look good on the internet. And I can say that anywhere. LA is a beautiful city on the internet. I can just say whatever city I'm in.
Right.
So certain jokes like that, but most of my jokes overall is just universal shit that everybody can relate to. So I'm glad I made my set like that. Because you don't want to just talk 100%. About Cleveland based shit.
Yeah. Now I gotta get more in the room. I gotta get more maybe addressing stuff in the room. You know, Because a lot of people that do that, I see, like, it hits.
Yeah, it's a good thing to do.
You know, even though it takes away from your set.
Whatever you do, just be careful making fun of the venue.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay to make some jokes, but don't go too deep into making fun of the venue. But you can make fun of the city.
Right.
And all that. Do something quick. Any city I go to, I try to research, like, a fact about that city or something. I try to do something like that or, you know, something happened in that city that everybody's aware of, I'll probably make something quick.
Hey, so, you know, if there was a reality magic wand you can wave, what would Anthony Mayo be doing?
Right now?
Right now, like, yeah. Like, what if everything that, you know, connected dots the way you want it to, what would you be doing right now? Like, from this point forward? This is the segment that we putting it out in the universe because the world is watching.
We project out.
Yeah. I know, that's cool. I don't know, man. I just want to be successful.
Successful at what?
I just want to be
clubs, theaters,
comedy, movies, TV shows. You want your own sitcom?
I'll take my own sitcom too. I just want.
Don't forget about
me. Would it be a nursing show?
No. It'd be more of like a fishing show if I could pick my kind of show.
Okay. You know what? We didn't touch on that, and I knew about that.
I'm a big fisherman. Yeah, man.
I knew about that, but I didn't touch on
it. I had a story about that. I just lost my head to get a new fishing rod because I took Mike Bonner fishing, and he done threw my whole rod in the Detroit River.
What?
Mike.
Shout out to Mike Bonner, man. That's my uncle, bro. That's my uncle. He ain't going to watch this. I ain't worried about it. He told me not to tell nobody. I told everybody. I
told the world.
I said, whatever y'all do, I don't care what y'all do. I took him to breakfast and everything, and this is how you repay me by throwing my rod in the damn water.
Because he had a big fish online, right?
No, because he didn't know how to cast. I said, all you do is take your thumb off and let the line go. He let his whole hand go, and the whole rod just went into the water. I watched my shit float to Canada. Like, Detroit River blocks Canada. My shit floated to Canada. I'm like, hell no. But shout out to Mike Bonner, though. That's my dude.
Like, if somebody was like, found a rod, eh?
Found a rod.
If it was up to me, I'd just be a full time comedian / actor. And that's it. Just, I ain't got to go work my regular job no more.
Right.
Pay my bills. I'm comfortable. My bills is paid. My family taken care of.
Dope.
I mean, that's all I want, really. I mean, fame, I don't care about fame. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll take it, but I just want to be successful. It's a lot of underground comics that's making money.
Right?
Without all that whole people in your business shit.
Yeah.
You know, so, fame can happen, but, I just want to be successful.
I heard that.
Yeah, that's what I want to do.
Like I said, I knew you were a fisherman.
Yeah.
Do you have one of your combinations that you put together that nobody would know about? Like, do you wrap bologna around a Snickers bar or something like that? Like, do you have something like that? I know you gotta have something.
For what, fishing?
Yeah, like.
People actually put bologna around a Snicker?
No, I made that up real quick.
That's wild as shit.
Yeah, but I know you probably got a combo like that.
I've seen a dude get a big ass catfish off just a little piece of hot dog. Like,
a little piece of hot dog.
A little piece of hot dog. You call it a big ass catfish.
They're meaty.
No, because I mean, I don't use real bait or nothing. I use just fishing lures. I got like fake worms and fake stuff like that. I sport fish. You know, I catch, take my picture and throw them back.
Throw them back.
Yeah, okay. I'm a bass and a pike fisherman. I mean, I go catch some walleye or perch or something like with my grandma or catfish, but I don't keep my fish.
Okay.
I just like the sport fish, so I don't like using live bait. I use plastic worms and.
Okay.
Because it's more fun. I don't like to just sit there and wait for a fish to jump on. You know, when you're using bait, you got to cast really in. It's just constant work. And you can feel the fish jump. And I've always wanted to get a boat so I can start a podcast. I want to do a podcast on the boat.
That's
dope. And do like fishing and jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
Me and my dude,
Kevin Ross. Shout out to my dog. That's Kevin. Y'all know Kevin, bro. Kevin Wild, brother. But me and Kevin want to do that. We want to get a boat.
That's dope.
And do a podcast on the boat. The only thing is, our crazy ass, I could just see
wintertime, it'd be.
Wintertime is kind of slow.
When it'd be stored, you can sit in it.
We would have to travel somewhere that don't snow and we'll take our boat
there
somewhere.
There you go.
That's dope.
Or we just film a whole bunch of episodes.
And y'all better not steal his idea.
Yeah.
Fishing and jokes.
Fishing and jokes.
Fishing and jokes.
Oh, that's dope, man.
That'd be dope, right on the boat. And then they can see the shit we go through catching fish, because me and Kevin go through hell fishing. We be going through some shit, man. That, just watching us fish should be funny in its own. And then listening to us talk. So, yeah.
What's the biggest fish you caught?
The biggest fish I caught actually was when I was a kid. I caught a walleye. And this boy was, this is a big ass walleye.
Damn.
I thought I had a snag or something. I thought I was snagged up or something. But I actually had a fish.
Damn.
I was young too. My grandma was salty because she ain't never caught a walleye before. And I caught this big giant motherfucker on the 55th pier. I was on the pier on 55th.
On 55th?
Man, that pier over there, I caught this big ass walleye. Man, people was, I was a kid.
Hold on,
people,
what time was it, bro?
It was later at night. It was probably around 9, 10 o'clock at night.
Okay.
Like, he's giving all the fishermen heads up.
All the fishermen on that pier was offering us money for that damn walleye. I didn't know nothing about fish. I didn't know walleye was like a really good tasting fish. That's like the best fish to me. That's my favorite to eat.
She don't eat fish at all.
Walleye and perch is my two favorite, but I didn't know nothing about walleye. I just know I caught this big dumbass fish. He was big. And yeah, man, people on the pier was offering us money for that.
Damn.
You take so it. That was at 9 o'clock, around 9 o'clock at night. Now, I know people that get up at like 4.
Yeah.
That's me. I'm more of a morning fisherman. I go at like 6. Because that's the best time to catch like bass and shit. Early in the morning, that's when they...
Have you ever caught anything strange, like a turtle or...
I did catch a turtle.
You caught a turtle?
I did catch a turtle. I caught a snapping turtle.
Come on, fucking snap.
He was like, I really mean, he's the biggest player. I was like, what the hell? And then, and everybody on the pier was like, you got to cut your line. You ain't taking that line out of his mouth. He bite your finger off. I didn't know nothing about that turtle.
You was gonna try to get your
I probably would have tried. I probably would have lost the finger that day because I didn't know nothing about it. I ain't know nothing about
on stage like this. On the
I
line,
ain't
man, the
Mayo, y'all. I didn't know we had turtles that could bite your finger off.
Oh yeah, snapping turtles are pretty vicious.
I caught a snapper turtle. I caught a lot of sheep heads when I was younger.
Sheep heads?
Yeah, I caught a lot of
those. Are the ones you're supposed to throw in back, right?
Yeah.
And snapping turtle.
But yeah, I think that might have been the craziest thing I caught was a snapping turtle.
He caught a snapping turtle.
The fuck?
I reeled in a t-shirt one time.
Was it a Midnight Pockle t-shirt by any chance?
Look, I hooked up like, oh, this is a big one. I can't wait to finish this t-shirt, bro. I'm like, oh.
Def Leppard.
Midnight Pockle, what the? And you didn't ever throw that on stage, bro?
Not yet. Okay. The only fishing joke is a quick little joke I tell on stage. I talk about how I went fishing today, and I was like, I ain't catch shit, man. I was like, I ain't catch nothing, not even a bite, not a nibble. I ain't had nothing. I said, so I'm sitting there smoking my weed. I said, ain't no fish in this water. I said, so I threw my roach in the water. I said, about 3 fish came up and took the roach. I said, there's fish in here.
Yeah.
They know.
Yeah.
The Lord shares with everybody.
You gonna try that.
They got that seaweed.
Try fishing with a roach one time.
Hey man, you got any shows coming up that you want to promote? This airs Tuesday.
Tuesday. I mean, listen, y'all want to drive out to Buffalo? Come out to Buffalo. I got some people coming out. My podcast people coming out. I got a couple people I met in Virginia that live in Buffalo that's coming out. I'm in Buffalo at the Seneca One Auditorium with Joe Torre.
Hey, everybody that's watching from the Buffalo area, come check out my man Anthony Mayo, along with Joe Torre.
It'll be June 7th. Next Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, June 7th. Check him out. I know you love Joe Torre. You're going to definitely
love this dude.
This dude,
yeah,
right
for
here.
Sure.
Check it out. Yeah, this is a... all over the world, man. So, you know.
This is dope.
We'll send it out.
Yeah. So, you know.
Never know.
In that area. Thanks for watching everywhere. We got new fans in where? Was it
Hong Kong, dog.
Shout out to Hong Kong.
What the hell?
Oh, yeah. Follow my social media, Hong Kong. Shout out to Mayo Comedy.
Yeah, that was wild.
And y'all might know my dude, Jake Annarino. He just came. He just did a little Asia tour.
Nice.
He did Japan. He did Bangkok.
That's our other one, isn't it?
What? Japan? No, Singapore.
Why can't I remember? Shout out to Singapore.
Yeah, Singapore, he's doing you dirty. He don't remember.
I will be out there. My dude told me that he can get me in the comedy clubs out there in Asia. So.
Get out of here.
He said whenever I'm ready, man. So
nice.
I want to work that at some point.
That's what's up.
That's gonna be dope. So shout out to y'all.
Yeah, shout out to Hardcore.
Yeah, man. And
I might be famous out there one day.
Right?
Pull up the Hardcore. We know you. We saw you. We saw you in the Midnight Taco Pocket.
Poppin' Taco Pocket.
The Poppin' Taco Rockin' Taco. Yeah, man, shout out, man. And I would like to thank you for coming on,
yeah,
man.
I appreciate it. I know you're busy. I know you got stuff. I know you're
getting your life together.
This is dope, man.
Appreciate it, brother.
I always remember this, man.
Yeah, man. Hey, yo, Jay, where can they find you at, baby?
Everybody, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
I am the_great_CORE. That's where you can find me, or you can find us both at the Midnight Pocket Podcast.
That's
where
right.
Can they find you at?
Anthony Mayo Comedy on all platforms. Just follow my Instagram, though. That's the only one that's the only one that they care about that gets you booked.
No TikTok?
I mean, they do, but my TikTok, I mean, you can follow my TikTok. I mean, that's cool. I got a couple videos here, 15,000. That was cool.
He said like 15,000. That's nothing. Yeah.
Well, the rest of them only hit like 100, 200. So I mean, I guess that's like, that ain't viral, but to me, that's a mini viral.
I like all your work ones,
yeah.
Dog.
Like, the work ones? Yeah. I'm trying to get into that. I'm trying to do the work ones. But at the same time, I don't want just a full fan base of just nursing.
Because
when they see my set, they're like,
right.
I got one nursing joke. I got jokes, but.
No, that's dope, man. Hey, thanks, Anthony Mayo, and that's thanks for dope. Tuning in to the Midnight Paco Podcast.
Yeah, check you out next week. Peace out.
Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco Podcast. Midnight Paco Podcast.